into a passion I could live for. What became of the flame that made me feel more? And when did I forget that I was made to love you? I was made to find you. I was made just for you. Made to adore you. I was made to love and be loved by you. You were here before me. You were waiting on me.
All right, on a cold February rainy morning, come to LifePoint Church, you get Hillsong, you get Crowder, you get Blessed Union of Souls. Amen? Amen? That's how we roll, for better or for worse. This week, you and I, and we, will all hear the word love a lot. See, Wednesday is the day that we set aside, called Valentine's Day, to celebrate love. Guys, did you hear that? Free disclaimer. Wednesday, set your alarms now, all right? You need to get something, all right? You need to buy your significant other something, all right? Wednesday, you may not have gotten that in any other church, remember that. So we throw the word love around very casually, right? We throw it around casually. I say a lot, I love pizza. You can tell I love pizza. I love Reese's Cups, right? You hear me say that one a lot. My kids hear me say that one a lot. Think about this one. I love U of L. I love UK. UK is making it hard for y'all to love right now, right? I love the Cincinnati Reds. That's been really hard the last 2 years. We also say this. It was love at first sight, right? Whatever that means. Love at first sight. Here's a good one. Falling in love. All right? Is that not the most ridiculous term you've ever heard? For something as sacred and something as exciting as finding the one that you're going to love the rest of your life and finding somebody that's going to love you back. We use the term falling in love. I could fall off this stage. I don't know about falling in love. Sounds ridiculous, right? Love is all over our films, too, if you've ever noticed that. Have you ever considered how many films have the word love in their title? Love Actually, Shakespeare in Love, To Sir with Love, to go old school. Love and Other Drugs, that's a ridiculous title. Eat, Pray, Love, Can't Buy Me Love. So I Googled how many movies have love in the title, and I was instantly taken to a list of the top 100 that have love in the title. All right, just the top 100, the 100 best ones. So think about how many more have love in the title. Love, the word love is everywhere in our culture. It's in our films, it's in our music, it's on our TV. It's in our language, like I just said, casually throwing the word around. Everywhere we look, we see the word love. But do we really see love everywhere we look? It would stand to reason that since we talk about love so much, and we watch love so much, and we listen to love, and we read about love, we would know that we would be known as a loving culture, right? That we would be better at loving. I don't know about you, but I don't look around at some of the things going on, and I don't turn on the news, and I don't look at our world, and I don't even look at some of our churches and say, I look there and see love. Webster's Dictionary defines love as, quote, an intense feeling of deep affection, end quote. An intense feeling of deep affection. Does that describe us today? Does that describe our culture today? And is it accurate to say that we love so many things? Is it really accurate for me to say I love pizza, or I love Reese's, or I love the Cincinnati Reds? Is it really accurate to say so? I don't think so. I think that I am guilty of casually throwing a very important word around. So pop quiz, I need a little participation. This is not a hard question. When I say 1 Corinthians 13, what's the first word that comes to your mind? Love. All right, y'all are ready. It's love, right? So that wasn't a trick question. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. But who was Paul talking about when he wrote that? Who was he talking about to love? And what is 1 Corinthians 13 all about? What's the context of it? Was Paul just tired of writing this letter? So then all of a sudden he's like, I need a time filler. I'm going to describe love. I'm going to throw out some adjectives, right? That'll hold their attention. And 2,000 years later, people the world over will still be quoting these amazing things that I'm going to say about love. Now, where to start? Love is patient. Love is kind. You know what I'm saying? Did Paul really do that? Or is there some context there? We have this tendency to chop up the Bible when we read it and when we study it. To read it in chapters or verses or really small snippets at a time. Instead of putting the word in context and reading whole books at a time or a chapter at a time or even chapters at a time, right? Chapters and verses were added for our convenience well after the Bible was written. In fact, they were added over 1,000 years after the Bible was written. And after Jesus lived on earth, after the books of the Bible were written. So to understand what's really going on in this love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, understand what it's all about, we need to understand more of what's going on before chapter 13 and what's going on there. We need to have at least a small baseline of knowledge what's going on. So this Bible that I have right here, at the beginning of every book of the Bible, it has about a half page that describes what goes on in that book. Who wrote that book, when it was written, themes, who it was written to, purpose. I strongly encourage you, if you don't already have a Bible like this, get a Bible like this. No matter if you've been a believer for 4 or 5 decades, or if you're here seeking God for the very first time today, I strongly encourage you to have a Bible like this. It kind of gives you some context, some meaning, and some purpose. If you have no idea what I'm talking about right now, but you're interested a little bit, just see me after the service. I'll help you step through that, and we'll get you one that works for you. But my Bible always starts off with content. And here, I want to read a little bit of what it says about the content of the book of 1 Corinthians. Surrounded by corruption and flagrant sin, the Christians in Corinth felt pressure to adapt to the low standards. Does any of that sound familiar? They felt pressure to adapt to the low standards. Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, and it covers a wide variety of topics and problems. He also answered questions that the church had for him. Throughout the letter, Paul emphasized that believers should be shaped by Jesus, not by the world around them. 1 Corinthians provides the Christian church with an actual sample of how specific problems were addressed and corrected in the early church. That's great, right? Isn't that great news for us? Remember how we talk about in the book of Hebrews, where it calls the word of God living and active. It uses those two words, living and active. In fact, we spent the entire month of November in the kids' ministry teaching that lesson and reinforcing that lesson that God's word is living and active, that there's nothing too big, nothing too bad, nothing that can't be solved with the word of God, nothing it can't do, nothing it can't fix, nothing it can't prevent, nothing that the word of God can't help. So isn't it great that we have the book of 1 Corinthians that's written to the church in Corinthians, and it's written to the church. It's written to our church, right? The word of God is living and active. 2,000 years later, the word of God is living and active. I chose this passage today because I think we're at a turning point. To be completely honest with you, I think we're at a turning point in our history, our church's history here at LifePoint Church. I'm just being completely honest with you. We're 6 months into this merge. There are a lot of things going really, really well. Amen? A lot of things going really well. But there's some underlying issues, just like every church has, right? And you say, how do I know that? Well, one thing I look at is Sunday attendance, and our attendance has been down. Now, we can point to bad weather, we can point to illness, we can point to busyness, we can point whatever we want to. We could come up with anything, that any kind of number of excuses that we want to give. And there may be some validity there, I'm not doubting that. But the fact remains that the newness of what we're doing here is wearing off. And I want to step through 1 Corinthians because there are some valuable lessons that this book teaches us and that we need to hear as a church today. And I want to encourage you with it. I want to encourage LifePoint Church with this today. So we've already established that 1 Corinthians 13 is called the love chapter. But what came before that? What came before Paul's beautiful description of what we refer to as love? So 1 Corinthians 12 is an explanation of spiritual gifts and how God gave us each different spiritual gifts. He gave every single person in this room, every single person in this world, spiritual gifts to use for the benefit of him, the glory of him, and for honestly for the benefit of the church that they belong to. So Andy preached this chapter a few months ago. I know that some of us are really familiar with it, so bear with me here as we build, okay? Then Paul goes into an example in chapter 12 of how the, after he talks about this, the spiritual gifts, he goes into an example of the human body. That the human body is as much like the body, I'm sorry, the body of the church is much like the body of Christ, okay? He used Jesus' body as a metaphor for the church. I want to start in 1 Corinthians 12 with verse 12, and you can follow along on the screen as I read. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, some of us are free. So to make this verse relevant to us and to our time, it could just as easily say some of us are Christian and Missionary Alliance, some of us are Baptists, some of us are Catholics, some of us are converted Muslims, some of us are mature, some of us are immature. You get the point, right? It could say all that here. Let's pick them back up with the last step of verse 13. But all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. That's unity, right? We all share the same Spirit. Easy for me to say. Sharing the same Spirit. That's God giving different gifts to different people and bringing those people together as one unified body. Much like we see here today. If you look around you, you see it in action. I'm going to skip forward to verse 18, chapter 12, verse 18. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Read that again. God has put each part of the body where he wants it. Now track with me here. Wouldn't it be strange if our ears were on our knees? Think about that for a second. As I've gotten into my late 30s, my hearing isn't quite as sharp as it was when I was a teen or even in my 20s, all right? It happens as you get older. So sometimes I have to do the thing where somebody's talking to me and I'm turning my head to where they can speak directly into my ear so I can hear it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You seriously know what I'm talking about. It's especially important when we're talking to people that talk low, right? So you got to kind of give that number. Can you imagine how awkward it would be if your ear was on your knee? Think about that for a second. You tell the person, I can't hear. Hold on just a second. Would you say that louder? Talk right into my knee. Say it loudly. God has put every part where he wants it. Just like he has with this church. Just like he has with LifePoint Church. Over the past few years, to use another body example, I've had severe problems with my right foot. So it all started with something as simple called plantar fasciitis. Doesn't sound too harmful, but let me tell you it is. So that led to one time when I was playing a game of softball, I ruptured my fascia. If you don't know what that's all about, let me tell you, it's painful. It happened to Peyton Manning. He missed 6 weeks of football. All right, it's not fun. The ruptured fascia led to me favoring my leg, favoring my foot when I walked. That led to something as silly as an IT band syndrome, whatever the heck that is. I didn't know what that was before. Apparently, the IT band goes from the hip to the knee, and when you strain it, it hurts. I will tell you, it hurts bad. That led to a Lisfranc sprain in my foot. I'm not making this up. I promise you, I'm not making these names up. You can Google them. I had it all. I promise you, it's painful. All right, they're real. And when body parts aren't working correctly, it affects the other, and they hurt. So physical therapy, doctor visits upon doctor visits. 5 cortisone shots. Let me tell you, the one in the top of my big toe felt really, really good. Thousands of dollars spent on copays, no joke. Money spent on new shoes, money spent on shoe inserts. 5 weeks off of work over a 3-year period. Lost productivity at work. 5 weeks in a walking boot. And you all seen that. I had it on this summer, right? I'm not telling you this to throw a pity party by any means, anything but. In fact, God has given me healing. I was on the way to a physical therapy appointment almost 2 years ago, and I was kind of frustrated about it, and God told me directly, you will be healed of this. And he healed me. I've had a peace about it since then. Now, it took a lot of work, took a lot of effort, took a lot of prayer, and it took more patience, even after he told me he'd heal me, because that healing happened almost 16 months after he told me it would, after God told me I would be healed. All that's to say, that example is to say, one small body part not functioning well led to all these different issues, all these different complications, all the missed time at work, all the money spent. Let's pick it back up. Chapter 12, verse 22. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. I believe that my body, I believe that our bodies, I believe that the body of our church can only function as well as the weakest part. I really believe that. It takes a united effort. It takes a united cause that everyone or everything works for. I believe that each part is necessary. And it's proved by how many complications one small foot injury can cause to my body. Each part is dependent on the other part to function well. I believe in the literal interpretation of verse 18. God has put us where he wants us today. God has put parts of the body where he wants us, where they will function the best. I believe that. I believe that he put us together in this church, together, a unified body, one body for him. I hope you believe that too today. This may be the part where you whisper to the person next to you, didn't he start this whole thing off talking about love? Where is this going with all these this body part business, this spiritual gift business? I knew he was going to lose his mind sooner or later, but I didn't know it was going to happen in front of us. I promise you, if you hang with me, I'm going somewhere with this. This is not another sermon about spiritual gifts. All right, we're building. Just like my kids constantly build Legos, just like back in the day I built Lincoln Logs, we're building. Chapter 12 builds up to chapter 13. So our body parts work together. They function together, each doing their specific job with their specific gift. Verse 25, this makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other, so that all the members of the church care for each other. We can translate that into the modern language that we use and go right back to where we started with our casual usage of the word love and say, so that all the members of the church show love to each other. I want you to first notice what this verse does not say. It does not say so that unbelievers can be reached. Think about that for a second. And don't get me wrong, and please don't hear what I'm not saying. All right? Unbelievers will be reached as a part of this process. As a result, sometimes during the process, it does not say so that we can live united or that we can be unified together. It doesn't say that. That will happen during, and that will happen after the process too. But we have to get back for caring. We have to get back to caring for each other, making that our top priority, especially during this time of transition, especially during this time. Not just getting back to it, but making it who we are, individually, as families, as a church family. We have to get back to that. Making it who we are, making it our DNA. The last chapter in verse 12 is the game changer. And sometimes we kind of gloss over it, but it's going to be our key verse for today. Remember, Paul is writing directly to the church. All right, he's writing directly to the believers in Corinth, the church in his time, and as a result, he's writing directly to us. He's writing directly to LifePoint Church, the church of our time. He wrote about spiritual gifts, wrote about the parts of the body. He wrote instructions that are so important to us. And he begins his writing on the topic of how church members should love one another with this, the last half of verse 31. Now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. A way of life. Let those words sink in. As I read 1 Corinthians 13, I want you to filter the words of what we just talked about, what we've just learned. These are instructions on how to treat others in the body of Christ, others in the church, others here in LifePoint Church. And remember, as we read this, as I read this, and as you follow along on the screen, remember that chapter 13 is useless without chapter 12 and vice versa. Chapter 12 is useless without 13. You have to have both together. And we chop it up so much, we don't realize that. But just listen to these words, read along. They're words that are so familiar to a lot of us, but read them through a fresh lens today. Verse 13, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. I love the fact that he hits really deep there and says it will become useless. Spiritual gifts will become useless at some point in time. But love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. That's pretty brilliant, right? That deserves an amen, right? You know what's even more brilliant? Is the first verse of chapter 14, which sums up chapter 13, the first verse of chapter 14, which sums up the chapter of 13 so perfectly, but for some reason was not included as chapter 13. I don't know who did it. Never talked to him about it, but here we go. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let love be your highest goal. So off of that, I ask a question. Is love our highest goal here at LifePoint Church? Is love our highest goal? As we unify, as we learn each other, as we develop ministry goals on how we will operate, who we're going to reach, how we're going to reach out to people, are we staying focused on what should be our highest goal? Is love our highest goal? I want to issue a challenge today for every single person in this church this week. Between Monday and Saturday of this week, I challenge you to show somebody else at LifePoint Church that you love them. Somebody that you have known for less than a year. Don't miss that last point, that last part, okay? It'd be pretty easy on Valentine's Day for me to give my wife flowers and say, I accept the challenge. I accepted the challenge that we all took today, right? I have 15, any given Sunday, I have 15 family members here at LifePoint Church. I could do something for my wife. I could do something for my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my daughter, my brother-in-law's fiance, right? And then pat myself on the back and say, done. Challenge accepted, mission accomplished. I could do that pretty easily, right? And a lot of us could do that too. But all those people that I'm talking about already know that I love them. I love you all. Y'all know that. And I know that they love me. I know you all love me. Reach out to someone you've known for less than a year. Show them you love them. Show them you love them simply because all of us belong to the same body. We belong to the same spirit. We belong to the same God. Simply because God has placed us together to love one another. He directly tells us that. He has placed us together to love one another. Standing before you today, I would propose to you that when we do that and we develop love as who we are, when it's in the core of our DNA, when it's just something we do instead of even thinking about it, when it's just something that we do as a group of believers, at this, the most pivotal time in the history of our church, these walls will not be able to contain us. These four walls right here, this building will not be able to contain us. The parking lot will spill over. We'll be parking cars in the grass, I promise you. And this love will spill over in this community in ways that it has never done before. This city will never be the same. In such a time as this, when we look around and see so much madness, so much craziness, so much goofiness going on in the world, such a time as this, Paul's words to us have never been more fitting. They've never been more urgent. And we can take this love into places beyond our wildest dreams. We can take it into places beyond our wildest dreams and where only God can lead us as a group of believers. He's given us the power. He's given us the authority to do that in our own lives, in our families, and in this church family, to love in a way that makes our Christian faith irresistible. Don't miss that word. It can make our Christian faith completely irresistible to this world that needs it so much. That can start with us, and that can start with this week. That can start this week. And I pray and I hope that you will accept that challenge. Will you pray with me? Lord, forgive us when we're not loving. That's all I know to say. Just forgive us as a group of believers when we don't show love as the primary response, the primary action, the primary thing that we do. I pray that you can lead us in a way that that will make that happen in our church, in LifePoint Church, that we are known as love, that we're known as people who reflect your love, people that show your love, people that love just because you are love. You created love. You created us, and you put us together as a group of believers. I know you've given us the power. You've given us the authority to do that. I know you have. We all know you have. And I pray that that starts and in some ways restarts this week. I pray that that starts today. I pray that we are known as a church that loves in a 1 Corinthians 13 kind of way. Make us a 1 Corinthians 13 church, Lord. We want to do that for your glory. We want to do that to reach lost people. We want to do that just to build each other up. And that's the prayer that I pray today, Lord. I pray that over LifePoint Church. If you're here today and you haven't accepted God, you haven't accepted Jesus into your life, I will simply tell you that God is love. God is love. It says that over and over and over again in the Bible. God is love. God created love. God is love. Anything that you're missing in your life, he can fill that void if you let him, if you ask him in. I promise you. That is not just me saying useless words. God is love. God can fill voids. This world needs a lot of voids filled. This church needs a lot of voids filled. Love can do that. Love is going to do that. I have every confidence in the world that God will do that through the love that we show to each other in a 1 Corinthians 13 way. I have every confidence in the world that's going to happen. If you haven't accepted him, you can very easily say today, Lord, I need you. I know that you're love, and I ask you to come into my life and fill the voids in my life like no other person can. Just say that to him today, and he will honor that. I promise you he will honor that. If you made that decision, I would love to talk to you after service today, and we'll step you through how to get connected, how we show love here at LifePoint Church, and how we can grow you into faith, how we can help you grow, and how we can love on you. If I'm not available, you can ask any other leader in the church, and they would happily explain to you the process and just help you through that. I'm really, really excited for the people that are making that decision today. Lord, bless those decisions that are happening. I feel in my heart that they're happening right now. I feel that that your love is going to win. I know your love is going to win. The Bible tells us that. And I feel that voids are going to be filled. And I know that's happening today, Lord. It's happening in your power, in your mercy, and your grace, and with your power and authority. I pray that over this church. I pray that over our lives today. And I pray that LifePoint Church will be known as a place of love. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.